Savage Michael Yo and
Tara McNamara.
Now, Tara, why are we doing this podcast? Give everybody the reason we are doing this podcast.
Because we just want to talk about movies more than we already do. Because it's our passion and lifeblood.
It is.
And also, you know, I want to give everybody the insight that we have. Because we find out little bits of information that I think the public doesn't know.
They don't know.
And so they should know.
And here's the thing. We see a lot of movies before everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We screen the movies and they may come out a month later, sometimes 2 months later, sometimes a week later. But we will see it first and we will give you the real deal. Now, let me give you some background on Tara. You've been reviewing movies for how long?
12 years.
12 years. I've been reviewing movies for about 2 minutes. I just started reviewing movies. But I've always had a problem with critics. And I'm not saying Tara's a normal critic. I'm just saying I disagree a lot with critics. I'll look at Rotten Tomatoes at times, and they'll be like, this movie is amazing. I'll watch it and fell asleep. And like, how can they say that? So I kind of speak for the common folk. You know, like when all these people were like, oh, Transformers were awful. The lighting, the camera, the plot. I was like, it's a movie about robots that turn into cars. It's not that serious. Megan Fox can't act. It doesn't matter. She's hot. You know, so that's my angle on movies. You know, I tell you what I really think, what normal folks think, what my parents think, what my friends think, not what critics think. And this is not dogging on critics. I just see it a different way.
Yeah. Well, don't paint me with the
cranky,
you know, 60-year-old white movie critic brush.
But you are white.
I am white. Why is that always a negative on your show?
It's not.
I always have to apologize for that.
You don't. You're awesome.
I'm sorry.
I like white people too. Blog Talk Radio, what's up? Most of the people there are white.
Well, that's true.
There you go. White people run the world.
Says the black Korean.
All right. So what were you going to say?
So I also come from that populist point of view. I mean, it's my history starts back in doing parent reviews and watching, because I had a site called Kids Pick Flicks, which was bought a couple of years ago, but it was where kids could be movie critics. And the reason we started that is because adult critics don't review kids' movies in the same way. And so in supporting that, I kind of like grew my career out of that. But it's always been from that populist point of view. Like, for instance, I saw Everest with my husband, you know, last year, and we take the 3D glasses off and I turn to look at him being like, well, that was a piece of crap, you know, and I look at him and he's crying, you know, and he's like, that was the best movie of the year, you know.
Really?
Yeah, because this is the thing. Different movies affect people differently. It depends on what your background is, the things that you care about, and what you look for in a film. So I do agree with you. Like when critics, you look at a Variety critic or a Hollywood Reporter critic, they're looking at what is the quality of the film from a film school point of view, you know? And I don't think most people care about that. They want to know, am I going to like this movie?
What I got from all that is your guy is way too sensitive. I didn't hear nothing else besides your guy crying.
He's an outdoorsman, so I think he's connecting.
Oh, he's connecting. Okay, let's talk about the Oscar whiteout. I mean, this thing has progressed. I was on Wendy Williams 2 weeks ago. The president of the Academy, the day all this stuff blew up, said, you know what? I'm disappointed. I'm saddened, but it's not a reoccurring problem. I went on Wendy Williams and said, look, it is a reoccurring problem because it happened last year. Then the next day she comes out with a statement, oh, you know what? It is a problem. We're going to have to make some changes. Now, there's another update that Tara has for us. What's going on?
They have made changes. They did that quick, right?
That's right.
And I, you almost wonder if it's an overreaction because in doing this and having an emergency meeting and changing their bylaws, you know, changing their rules of membership and just doing it so quickly, you know, you're like, well, it's not a very thoughtful decision. Maybe not as thoughtful as you'd hope. But what they want to do is they want to double the membership of to diversify it so that they have more minority membership and more female membership. They're going to double it by 2020. That's their goal.
By 2020, double it.
Mm-hmm.
So what? But the question is, what is it at now? Double? Are you talking about double the 6,000 members or double the 3 black people that's in the Academy to make it 6? What are they doubling?
Double. They said the board's goal is to commit to doubling the number of women and diverse members of the Academy by 2020. That's all they're saying.
What I think is very important, when we say the word diversity, people automatically think black. And when you hear black people yell out diversity, I'm half black, by the way, and I'm saying this, and Asian. But I think when people in general yell out diversity, you need to think black, Asian, Hispanic, women, handicapped, disabled. You need to think everything, not just black. I think people get, and that's how they get caught in this black and white fight. It's diversity means everybody, not just black. And I want to point that out, especially when the Academy is 94% white. When they say we're going to double the diversity, we're going to double diversity or double the membership, that means 6% is diverse, not white. So that means it should be 12.
Okay.
Which is now 88% white.
It's like 90, right? So that's what it would become. So it's still
not balanced, but it's a start, I guess, you know. But I just don't want people, because I get so upset when people start saying, well, it's black versus white. No, it's about opportunity. It's about diversity. That's every color in the rainbow. That's women. That's more women that can vote too. That's more everything, not just black and white. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm since we were talking about Kung Fu Panda 3, I think it's fair to point out that the director of those movies is Jennifer, I don't know how to say it. I'm going to go to your Asian side.
Uh-huh.
It's Yu or Yuh, Y-U-H. What's your guess?
Y-U-H?
Uh-huh.
Jennifer Yeh.
Okay. You're Michael Yo. She's Jennifer Yeh.
Yeah. Yeah and Yo.
She's South Korean. So I
figured. Well, speaking about Kung Fu Panda, let's talk about pandas. They're black.
And white.
And Asian.
Yeah.
And people love them. The mascot for the Academy should be a panda.
There you go. But no, she's been, you know, animation where it's been difficult to break in as a female, as an ethnicity. And here she's just been quietly, you know, crushing it all this time for years.
Way to go. Yeah. You are.
Nobody talks about her.
Jennifer, yeah.
But the way that they are going to do this is that they're changing the way it works. So you can't just be a member and then be a member forever anymore. Yeah.
The Academy is like driver's license. After you get a certain age, you shouldn't drive anymore because you can't see nothing. And I feel that's the same way for the Academy. After a certain age, they can't see films the same way people see films, normal people. Like, you got 88-year-old men in there going, straight out of Compton.
Right, you do.
I'm not going to even watch that movie.
Right, and that's part of the issue with, like, Beasts of No Nation. We kind of talked about that in your podcast with Leo.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that's a matter of people wanting to see the movie or having the ability to see. They have so many screeners, so they're picking and choosing. So that has something to do with it. But anyway, back to the Academy membership. Mm-hmm. What they're going to do under new eligibility rules, each new member's voting status is going to end after 10 years unless they've stayed active in making movies during that decade. And lifetime voting rights will only be enacted after they've served 3 10-year terms.
I like
it. Or if the member has won or been nominated for an Oscar. If you were nominated or you won, you get to stay in there forever. But for everybody else, you have to kind of keep earning it.
I don't agree with that. I agree with everything until you said nominated for an Oscar.
Why?
Because so many people have been nominated for Oscars and they're one-hit wonders.
Okay. I actually know Justin Henry, who is, I think, the youngest Academy Award nominee ever.
Okay. How old was he?
He was, I don't know, like 8 or 9 during Kramer versus Kramer.
Okay.
I mean, he was pretty young. You know, and he's still, even though he's not an active working actor, he is so invested. Like, he cares. He watches the screeners. He takes his role seriously. And I don't want anyone to think that anyone's like sitting back who's in the Academy and just is like twiddling their thumbs and very blasé about the whole thing. I mean, they take it seriously. It's an important
role. Has he been in another movie since then?
Well, he was in a lot of movies when he was a kid. He was in Pretty in Pink.
Okay.
He was in several movies.
Well, he deserves it.
Hasn't in the last... I mean, this is going to affect him because he has not been in a movie in decades.
But he's been nominated for an Oscar.
But he was nominated for... Oh,
so he's lifetime.
So he's lifetime. Yes.
So he's good.
Right.
He's good. All right. I see. I get it. I guess if you're nominated for the highest honor...
For a best...
You should be lifetime.
Supporting
but
actor.
I love every 10 years you can get kicked out. You know, we need to do that with driver's license. Like, after people reach the age of 60, every, like, 5-6 years, they need to be retested. Because I've been almost ran off the road by so many old people. Now, Tara, being a white lady,
mm-hmm.
and I need to address this because when we talk about this, I don't want, you know, anyone to think. Like, I'm half black and Asian. She's white. This is very important. Do you think it was unjust this year?
I think that this was an example of the preferential ballot getting in the way. I think they have this preferential ballot system.
Institutional problems.
So I, the, and just to quickly try to summarize this very complicated process. Basically, you write down five Best Picture nominees. We'll just look at Best Picture. So you like write down five Best Picture nominees, and you put your first choice first, your second choice second, and so on. And what they do is they have a quota of how of the percentage of votes that a movie needs for it to get one of the potential 10 slots. Once it reaches the quota, then the ballots they encounter after that go to the second choice. So if Revenant was your choice for Best Picture and The Big Short was second choice, okay, well, we have enough votes for Revenant, so this person, this ballot we came across, The Big Short, is their second choice.
Okay, gotcha.
So you only get one vote, but you put five nominees. So I feel that Idris Elba and Will Smith probably fell into the lane of being people's like fourth and fifth choice on the list.
Wasn't the favorite. But it made their top five. It's just most of the places where their names were placed was four and five, which would bump them out because many people put like other actors before them.
Yeah,
like,
or other movies. So Straight Outta Compton may have been lower on people's list. And honestly, I think probably Straight Outta Compton, for if you look at the way that the Academy tends to embrace movies, then Straight Outta Compton was probably at the bottom of people's list.
Absolutely. 100. I would be surprised if 50% of the Academy saw Straight Outta Compton. I would be shocked if 50%.
Well, I think the bigger observation would be that if they watched their screener, they didn't get it. You know, knowing how old that they are, it's something that they just missed them. And I think we talked about this when Straight Outta Compton came out. The whole theater was so into it. But
into
grew up, at that time of the rise of NWA, I was living in Oklahoma. And I'm, as you've pointed out, I'm a white girl. And I was like, this was not the kind of music that I was listening to or people that I knew were listening to.
But you knew about it, right?
Like, I knew about it, but I didn't know any of that story.
Okay.
So to me, there were things that clearly people in the audience were connecting with, and I didn't connect to it. My husband, who also happens to be white, grew up in Michigan, and that whole movement was very much a part of his childhood.
Oh, absolutely.
And so he was so into the movie.
I like your husband. I like him.
So I just think that there may have been a matter of not getting it as well. So I think that these factors play in. But I do want to point out something that I do think this is an example of institutional racism.
Absolutely.
Because living in L.A. and in the Hollywood, I promise you, it's not a racist community at all. And in fact, I know that they look to, you know, diversify. Like if you look at a newscast, right, you look at the anchors. And being in Miami, I experienced this because they never wanted a white girl for anything. They always wanted a Latina. They did not want any white girl.
You're the minority now, Sarah.
I always live in Hispanic communities, so I'm always what they don't want. But usually they would put a white male as the anchor, and then the co-anchor
was ethnic.
Would be ethnic. That's the way it works. So they are always looking to, like, you know, oh, where can we diversify?
Well, I know in Hollywood it's all about diversity. I do know that, except for movies, because like I tell everybody, I've gotten lucky breaks in my career, and I believe half of it or 80% of it is because 20% talent, 80% I look different. I have both ethnicities, and when I'm on TV, you know it's me. You can't confuse me with anyone.
Pay attention to commercials.
Absolutely.
That ambiguously Asian or ambiguously ethnic look.
Absolutely.
That is the look that they want because they want everyone to connect with the character or the person. So they
I'm non-threatening.
Want that.
That's what Tara's saying. I am non-threatening to white people. They look at me and go, whatever.
But given that, so
I'm great on brochures.
But there is a matter of, you know, you're doing The Martian. The Martian could have been any actor.
Yep.
But you have Matt Damon available. Matt Damon's a big star, you know?
And that's my point. It's like, you know, a lot of people go backwards and say, you know, you see a lot of black actors, it's always oppressed roles. But nobody ever makes mention of the nominated movies. It could have been, and I'm not just saying black, I'm saying it could have been any ethnic actor, you know, in The Martian. It could have been any ethnic actor in The Room. It could have been any ethnic actor. Well, not Steve Jobs, he's white. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's tons of movies that have been not Revenant, you know? Samuel L. Jackson was up for it, but turned it down.
Right. It just took this movie a long time to get made. So originally, Samuel L. Jackson was the one that they wanted for the part. And it just takes years and years, and then people are busy and they move on or get too old for the role.
Gotcha.
But by the way, I now can't see him doing this part.
No, not at all.
I see his Hateful Eight character in The Revenant. That's what I see every time. And be like, yeah, that wouldn't have worked. But
go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm just saying that, but there is a, I think where the institutional racism comes in is just like, because it is still an industry comprised mainly of white people who are maybe thinking, you know, want to be diverse, but still it doesn't occur to them when they're writing the names on the ballots. Well, who did I think did the best? Well, I think Christian Bale was like, that was a really amazing performance. So I'm going to write Christian Bale down. And they don't think, gosh, you know, Will Smith really should get a shot at Best Actor. You know, he was really amazing. He nailed that accent, whether you think he did or didn't. But
their favoritism goes through.
I mean, I just think that they're not thinking, I should vote this way. Mm-hmm. I need to diversify. Like when they're doing, they're just like, oh, you know, who did I think was the best? But I think that that's kind of where
they're selling in their minds. They're selling it and they're selling it to people, but they're not coming through when it comes down to the final.
Yeah, because you're still thinking.
You know what it's like? You know what it's like? When I was growing up, I went to an all-white school. So parents would be like, oh, we're not racist. So they found out I was taking out their daughter. And then they're like, wait a minute. What's going on? We don't like this. We don't like that. We love everybody. I mean, we love every ethnicity unless you're dating our daughter.
But I do want to take it back to the point you made about could you, looking at the Best Picture nominees, could you have put a black actor in there? Mm-hmm. And I think one thing that speaks to that is a lot of these always are
not
true
black.
Stories.
You're stuck on black.
Okay, ethnic.
Diverse. See,
ethnically you're diverse.
You're the person making it a black or white thing. You are, because you keep saying, I'm talking about diverse. I'm talking about Asian. I'm talking about
right.
Latin. I'm talking about whatever.
All right. So I just want to point out that biopics are always very popular at mm-hmm. Oscar time. So you have The Big Short. Well, those are based on real people who
true,
are white.
True.
You've got Bridge of Spies. You know, that takes place on, it's just all white people. That's who they are based on.
True.
You have Brooklyn. An Italian and Irish romance takes place in Ireland.
True.
Hard to ethnic that
true.
Up anymore unless you consider Irish an ethnicity. And if you do, then there you go. And Spotlight is the same thing. So this is part of the problem. When you go back in time, as they like to do with these period pieces, and you're playing real people, and because of the horrible history of our world, mm-hmm. the way that other ethnicities were oppressed, it were white people doing these jobs.
Gotcha. No, I understand that. I understand that, but there are exceptions.
Yes, there are. There
and
are.
There, Hollywood has changed roles plenty of times. Like, what was it? Johnny Depp playing an Indian.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But so yes, or
it wasn't a
Rooney Mara and Pan playing.
So it does
Native
happen.
American.
It's a,
the
it
wrong
does
way.
Happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when everybody says, let's be specific. It's usually like, let's be specific if a white person can play another ethnicity, but it's not the opposite way.
That's true. I think that's true.
I'm just dropping the mic on that. I'm just, my final point. We're both going
to. I got a final point.
We're going to do this new thing. Final point. I'll let Tara go first.
Okay. My final point is that as there's been more of an awareness that there aren't as many women getting these opportunities, we're seeing times where they're giving roles to women that were written for men. So Angelina Jolie in Salt, that was written for Tom Cruise. Sandra Bullock in Our Brand is Crisis, that was a part written for George Clooney. And so we're seeing, they're like, hey, we could put a woman in this part. It doesn't have to be a dude. And so I think this is the next wave. They're going to say, we could stick somebody of ethnicity in this role. It doesn't have to be a white person. So I think that this whole thing that happened with the Oscar whiteout, or Oscar so white,
mm-hmm.
has been really positive. And I think it's going to, I hope, make an impact in the future on decisions that are being made at the casting level and at the writing level and at the producing level.
I agree with, I think it was a great conversation. I think it is moving things forward. I do want to say this too, because I get a lot of response. This is not the first time we've talked about this, but I get a lot of response where people try to make it a black versus white thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say this again. If you don't think the opportunities aren't fair, a quick story I've told before, Taraji P, Amy Adams, nominated in 2009 for two different movies for Best Supporting Actress. Amy Adams, nominated three more times since then for American Hustle, for The Fighter and The Master. Taraji P Henson, Think Like a Man, Think Like a Man 2, and No Good Deed. That's the level of difference right there.
And the choices they get.
And the choices, the opportunities. And that's what I'm saying. It's not about black or white. It's about opportunity. And the opportunity for white actors and actresses are far greater than an ethnic actor or actress. And that's just a fact. Whether it's Tara saying it's a timepiece, you know, so the, if you go too far back in time, they're just oppressed. You know, ethnic people are oppressed. Go ahead.
Okay, I have a final point.
Oh, okay, final point. Here we go.
And this is an ugliness that has nothing to do with America, but has to do with profits. Mm-hmm. So the thing is that these movies like Think Like a Man and Ride Along and these American movies that have actors of color, they don't do well internationally. And we are now in a global playing field with every single movie. And that is a horrible, horrible fact. But when they're casting...
They don't do well because they're black actors? Or
I think other parts of the world are racist. That's what I'm thinking. Like,
really?
Or if it's just such an American story. I don't know because I'm not Finnish. You know, I'm not Swedish.
No, you make a good point because it is about international box office where you see now, you'll see the numbers from U.S. domestic, and then you'll see it's a big deal internationally now when it wasn't before. You didn't hear about international numbers. How does The Rock do? Do you know how The Rock does internationally?
I think The Rock is solid everywhere, but he's ambiguously ethnic.
Exactly.
That's why. Yeah. So let me give you an example. Ride Along did almost $135 million domestically, meaning mm-hmm. North America. Foreign gross, not even $20 million. Okay?
So what is that saying about the world?
I don't know, but let's look at Straight Outta Compton. So if you're like, well, that movie, maybe it's just a silly comedy or something like that. Maybe that's why. But if you look at Straight Outta Compton, $161 million domestically, foreign, $39 million. And this is the story over and over. When it comes to black films, and I know that's a horrible thing to say. I don't like saying it.
They don't sell internationally.
They don't. And I don't know why that is.
And it's a business.
But if you're running a studio, you have to probably look at that. And that's probably why I think they like to do, like a Fast and Furious is a different story. You have all ethnicities, and those movies kill internationally.
And it's more about the cars.
Well,
and
yeah, that's true. The storyline transcends any language.
Yeah, it started with the cars, and then people fell in love with the characters rather than these other movies. You have to fall in love with the characters first and then love their world. You know, I remember the first Fast and Furious. I jumped in because of the cars. And then I was like, oh, okay, these guys are cool.
Yeah. So I think that becomes the issue. So, are you going to greenlight a movie? How are you going to cast it? I don't know how much those decisions come into play, but it's hard to imagine looking at those kind of numbers, it doesn't.
Okay, we got to wrap this up. Did you want to make a final
point? No, that was it.
That was it?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. Please, please, please subscribe, comment, subscribe. Say it, Tara.
Please, please, please subscribe, please.
And comment. We need the comments.
And we need the comments. We can't feed our children unless you comment.
I don't have children, but if I did, that would be an accurate statement. All right, we will see you next time. Later.